With us in studio is Sue Lincoln, the Capital Access anchor and acting news director for WRKF, and she is getting ready for the start of the legislative session. Begins Monday with an address to the public and to the lawmakers from Governor John Bel Edwards, who will be 15 months into his tenure as governor of Louisiana. Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to be with you again.
Well, it's nice to see you. Well, before we get to the session, it was a lively grilling the governor received on Capitol Hill.
It absolutely was. And what struck me most is what we're seeing all across the nation, which is the loss of civility in civic discourse. Personally, I was offended that the chief executive of my state was asked with great derision, "Are you clueless?" But this is the way civic discourse is starting to go. And I'm wondering, as we get into the session, how much of that we're going to see here in Louisiana.
And it appears the governor and the 6th District Congressman, the gentleman who represents much of the region where WRKF airs, Garrett Graves, they're not on the same page.
They're not on the same page, at least publicly. Privately, I think there is more consensus than they would allow you to believe with their public discourse, because I've spoken with Congressman Graves at length. However, it's posturing and partisanship that's driving what's going on, and he was joining in with the crew there in that oversight committee.
Mm-hmm. And the congressman contends that Louisiana should be dispersing this money, even though it's not in the bank. The governor says we don't have, as a state, $1.6 billion in the bank, so we can't distribute the money. Who's right?
We don't have the money in the bank. You can't hand out money you don't have. You know, you're writing checks that you can't cash. And so that is a difficulty in this whole discussion that's going on publicly. It makes it tough. Of course, the governor's press people did issue a release yesterday basically calling the congressman a liar.
Well, getting back to the lack of civility in public discourse,
right.
The governor held his own in the committee. He didn't lose his composure, as you would expect a West Point person
to do.
But in talking with him afterwards, he was not pleased with what happened, and I can't say I blame him.
You know, it's one of the things I put together a piece for our pledge drive where I had made the comment that I was waiting for the former 82nd Airborne to actually call on that and, you know, start Apocalypse Now and talk about how much he loved the smell of napalm in the morning. I keep waiting for him to call on his inner drill sergeant and lay down the law to the various members of the legislature and Congress. But I think he's too much of a gentleman to do it.
The governor has also gone toe-to-toe with the new U.S. Senator, John Neely Kennedy. and there are rumblings that both Garrett Graves and John Kennedy are looking at running for governor in 2019. But that aside, they're in different parties. And John Kennedy, as we know, last year made a big display about the 1% for public art. And Sue, I heard you doing a report earlier in the week. The new senator, he is an aficionado of public art, isn't he?
Apparently so. You know, he had done the whole his whole routine about the percent for public art, but he is also asking that the Louisiana State Museum Board allow him to borrow about $300,000 worth of art that's owned by the state, art that had been hanging in his offices as state treasurer, and bring it to Washington, D.C. They're not real comfortable with that. It is not in accord with their rules. It's not in accord with best practices of the American Museum Association. And so there's a debate going on about that. Of course, the members of the board are under pressure by the lieutenant governor to accede to Senator Kennedy's request. And so there's some political infighting. They had a meeting down in New Orleans on Monday, which I attended. And there were some very interesting comments. They were very open about their discussion, mm-hmm. about the pressure that they're under. And what they ended up offering, deciding to do, is a compromise. They're going to offer Senator Kennedy giclées, which are high-quality digital reproductions of this artwork that he can purchase and display, and that may potentially become a new revenue stream for the state as they sell these high-quality reproductions of original art that the state owns. Whether that's going to fly or not remains to be seen.
Okay. Monday, the governor makes his address to lawmakers. He's not playing a good hand as far as getting taxes through the hoops because it takes two-thirds in both the House and Senate. And he's a member of a party which has 13 senators and 41 House members. How's he going to pull this off?
Well, he is. He has a tax reform plan. Speaker Pro Tem Walt Leger is carrying the bulk of those bills. Katrina Jackson has a few of those, as does Sam Jones, who was the governor's roommate when the governor was a member of the House. Sam Jones has the the cat tax that the governor is adding in, basically a gross receipts tax. He also has a half-cent sales tax and a 10-cent gas tax for road and bridge work. In addition, Republican Rob Shadowin of Ruston has crossed the aisle, if you will, and has a couple of the bills as well, including he's carrying the bills to lower the income tax rates. The Republicans have their own plan. It looks to be Barry Ivey's package of bills, which includes moving to a flat income tax rate and not having any deductions for having children unless those children are disabled. Jay Morris is proposing reductions in the corporate income tax rate and making the clean pennies permanent. But he also wants to dedicate money, gaming money, to higher ed. And then we come to the dedications, which have been a controversy. We hear from one side that we need to remove all the dedications to free up all the money, and yet we're always putting new dedications in. Representative Franklin Foyle has a bill to dedicate the riverboat gaming money to TOPS. Rob Shadowin has a bill to undedicate the tobacco settlement, the rainy day fund, the coastal protection fund, the transportation trust fund, and others, and put all of that into the state general fund.
All right, but do you think there is the stomach for some of these things, like a gas tax? We know we have terrible roads and bridges in our state, particularly in the area where we are, but is there the stomach from lawmakers to approve a tax, a gas tax, to pay for the cost of sprucing these things up?
I think there is, but I don't think it's going to be totaling the $700 million a year that the Transportation Infrastructure Task Force is saying is necessary. But I do think we'll see some movement on that front, as long as those funds are dedicated to doing the roads.
And there are some other bills that could get huge attention, even though it's a budget session. For example, the one to preserve the monuments from Thomas Carmody. That's bound to get some attention, especially if it ever gets out of committee. To do away with the death penalty, the one from Dan Clater. That's another one.
And Terry Landry. Yeah.
And Terry Landry on the House side, yes. That's another one that will get lots of attention. The TOPS bill. What about raising the threshold for TOPS?
I think that we may see some movement in that direction this time, simply because although there was some backlash for having cut the total amount of the top scholarships this last year, it turned out it wasn't quite as sacred a cow as we've always thought it would be, unlike the homestead exemption. And, you know, there's a bill also to let locals change the amount of the homestead exemption, either up or down. I think that one's not going to go anywhere.
No, that's one that has been in place a while, and I don't think it's going anywhere. But Sue Lincoln, we thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week with Sue to get in her take on what's happened in the first week, and it should be an interesting week one of the 2017 regular session.